Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the global financial crisis right after this. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use terms like private ownership, private property, private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses, and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? That bonds are the exact opposite to private property? That business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights, and permits are the exact opposite to private business? And why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level, from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, zoning and planning, the IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies that are eating out your substance? Well, you know, there's a lot that you can do, and the first step is to inform yourself as to the legal alternatives that you have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about private business, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. And let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about this thing called private business. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org, and then go to the archives page. Hey, we're talking about the global financial crisis, and there's an offshoot to this. So I thought I'd pick up the Privateer here today. Privateer is a private newsletter put out by a fellow named William Buckler down in Queensland, Australia. Now, the other day, there was a piece on the news about North Korea shelling an island down in South Korea. It's right up next to the DMZ line, just 2 or 3 miles from the border. And here in the press, here in the United States, you know, we were told that this was an unprovoked attack by the North against the South, and we don't know what the North has in mind, but, you know, this is the most serious thing since the end of the Korean War and blah, blah, blah. Kind of reminded me of Pearl Harbor, you know, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, you know, then the president comes out and he says, well, this is an act of war, and by God, we're not going to let this one go by the boards. And the next day, the Americans are lined up to join the army and to go make the world safe for democracy. Why is it that that we jump off the deep end like that? Well, you know, people are nationalistic and they're very patriotic. And so when they see that our side has been attacked, and I guess we learn this when we're in school playing sports. You know, we've got our team over here and we're rooting for our team. And then on the other side of the stadium are all those people dressed in different colored uniforms, and they're jumping up and down and they're rooting for their team. Well, there's a story that comes out of this. And then oftentimes what we hear here in the United States isn't the same story that people read in Japan or Brazil or France or Russia or someplace else. And so here in the United States, we have it in our minds that, well, these people are living under controlled conditions and they're not getting the straight skinny from their governments. But we believe we're getting the straight skinny from our government. Well, at least until 9/11. And then after 9/11, we began to see the underground press putting out some CDs with some slow motion photography there of the two trade towers coming down. And it's pretty obvious that they're coming down in a controlled demolition, after two airplanes fly into them. And the official story is, well, the buildings collapsed because of the extreme heat caused by the fires from the airplanes. See, that's the official story. That's what we heard from NOVA, remember? NOVA. The science story that comes out on PBS. And they explained it. And then we saw some of the girders and beams that were cut at an angle. I mean, they just looked like they were sliced off. And then there's a thing called cordite, I think it's called, or thermodite or something on that order. And that's the way they take down these big buildings. They wrap this special explosive around these beams, and when they torch it off, it's so hot it just cuts it right off, and then the building falls down. And so now today, when you ask Americans if they believe 9/11 was a black flag operation, about 80% of us say, yes, we believe our government did it. And 20% still believe the official government line. Now, that's quite a renvoi. Used to be in the past, when you got to a Pearl Harbor-type event or a Gulf of Tonkin, that 80% of the people believed the official government line and only 20% disbelieved it. So Americans are getting smarter. We're waking up over here. We're still asleep, but you know we're waking up a little bit. Well, anyway, there's a story comes out here in the Privateer, and on their very first page, they start off with what they call the Global Report, what we are to watch for. Listen to the story. Is it not ironic that after nearly 2 years of international discussions, all supposedly aimed at nurturing the economic recovery, the innocent observer of current events is being snowed under trying to keep track of it all? The European sovereign debt crisis has once again been pushed to the fore. Dissension in the Fed ranks has been revealed with the minutes of the latest FOMC meeting, and one where QE2 was initiated. Now, the Chinese government is threatening price controls while warning their banks that the quota of new loans for 2010 has already been met. NATO is actually inviting Russia to join NATO so that they can all point their missiles somewhere else. Politicians everywhere are battling to maintain their authority while their subjects grow ever more fractious. And, oh, there are now the two Koreas. They have decided to start lobbing shells at each other. Well, on November the 23rd, surveying the gyrations on world markets in the wake of the Korean shellings, one U.S. fund manager was quoted as saying that it was a fear day. There's a tremendous amount of bad news to absorb, he said. So now, when we take a look at the news, let's take a look at absorbing this news. And sadly, this is all that most people have time to do, is absorb it. If one was inclined to watch them, every developed nation has 24-hour TV news broadcasts. And those countries that don't have such coverage have ready access to those who do. And of course, the internet never stops. Its advantage is that a lot of the news is neither official nor officially approved by those who are intent on making sure that nobody does any more than absorb the news. So we don't think much about what's going on. We watch all of this information coming in, and deception comes from overload. There's so much information coming into your computer, coming into your mind, that you can't really disseminate all of that information and knowledge, run it through your computer, and then make sense out of it. That's why I keep telling you that if you're watching Katie Couric and Brian Williams, you've got a mindset, you've got a worldview. Now, I've got a different worldview than most people have. Mine's just a little different. It's a little different because not only do I watch Jim Lehrer and Katie and Brian, I also listen to Bill and Bob and Joel and Franklin, and I'm getting information that most of you aren't getting, which is why every once in a while I pull out the Privateer and the Forecaster and I read you a line or two or a page or two, and I said, do you know that was going on? Have you ever heard that before? You know, yesterday and the day before I said, have you heard about these 40 bizarre statistics? Did you know that in 28% of our homes in America, just start knocking on doors, and 28 houses out of 100, there's one person in there looking for a full-time job. And right away, I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, that sounds like more than 9% of the working population to me. So when I see 9.5% unemployment, right away, my brain says, well, wait a minute. That's a number that comes from the government. That's the same outfit that told us about the trade towers coming down with these two airplanes. You know, this is the same government that warmed us up to Pearl Harbor, but warmed us up to the Gulf of Tonkin. And just more recently, you know, George Bush and Colin Powell, you know, went to the United Nations and said, hey, that guy Saddam Hussein, he's got weapons of mass destruction. Then after we attacked Iraq and conquered him over there, couldn't find a one, not a one. And then they said, well, it was just bad intelligence. You know, just bad intelligence. Wait a minute. The president of the United States has satellites up in orbit, got people on the ground. Every morning at 10:30, he gets briefed by the chief of the CIA. And then if there's one guy in the world that's got the best intelligence that the world has to offer, it's the president of the United States. I don't know about the Chinese and the Russians. They might have better information, but our president's no slacker. He's got pretty good information. And now we find out that, well, okay, we went to war in Iraq because we needed to shut down these weapons of mass destruction. And when we couldn't find them, then it was to make democracy available to the people of Iraq. Well, let me ask you this. Don't you think the people of North Korea need some democracy? Maybe the people of Cuba. You know, Cuba's a hell of a lot closer to the United States than Iraq. I mean, we could go down there if we wanted to promote democracy around the world. I suggest we attack Cuba. They're closer, probably easier to whip. And then we could establish democracy there, you know. Maybe Venezuela could stand a little dose of democracy. Then we found out that 25% of the world's oil is located in Iraq. And then right away, my brain got to mulling that one over a little bit, and I said, well, gee, I can see why we don't need near as much democracy in North Korea or Cuba as we need in Iraq. Now, if North Korea had 25% of the world's oil reserves, I could see where we might need more democracy in North Korea. See where the drift of this is going? Hey, listen, I'm not sure that the news media here in the United States is any more reliable in disseminating news to us. I mean, the real facts to us, the Joe Sixpacks, as is North Korea or anybody else. Now, listen up. There's a little bit more to this story. What actually happened over here in North Korea, South Korea was in the middle of a 9-day live fire exercise by their Navy near the northern limit line. So as a topical example, this exchange of shelling on the 38th parallel, you know, the border between North and South Korea, this incident took place, by the way, at 2:30 p.m. Korean time. That was 12:30, you know, to 12:30 a.m. Washington, D.C. time on November the 23rd. So in the English-speaking press, it was universally reported as a North Korean attack or assault on South Korea. And the condemnation was instant, it was unanimous, and it was choreographed. Now, this is the maritime border drawn by the United Nations, you know, this 38th parallel, which North Korea does not recognize. And Yongpyeong, the island shelled by the North Koreans, is just south of that line. Now, the North Koreans claimed that as part of their live fire exercise, South Korea had fired shells into their territory. South Korea denied this, saying they only retaliated after the North began to shell. This now, by the way, is the second similar incident over the past year. The first one never even rated a mention. We didn't hear anything about it. Wasn't in the press. This one, this time, is being called the most serious incident since the end of the Korean War. But when you don't want people to think about what's really going on, then inducing fear is a great ally. Now, there's five motivators to human nature. Let's run over those briefly, and let's see how they're jerking our strings here. How do they motivate us to action? How do they get us excited? How do they get our minds turned off of what we were concerned about yesterday and on to Korea? Okay, first of all is vanity. We got vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Those five motivators motivate you to everything that you do. It's what makes you get out of bed in the morning. It's what makes you buy life insurance. That's why you bought the car that you're driving. It's why you live in the neighborhood where you live. Vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Five motivators of human nature. Every salesman's trained to observe and to watch people and then to exploit those five motivators. Now, fear is a very powerful motivator. Fear is the motivator that we use to sell insurance and driver's licenses. And you didn't go down there and buy a life insurance policy because you thought that over and you said, gee, I need that. You bought that out of fear. Somebody told you you're going to die, leave your wife and children without any means of support, which is a terrible thing for you to do. And your fear of death, premature death, caused you to buy a life insurance policy. And you bought health insurance because you have a fear of getting sick. No, I don't have health insurance. I don't have any fear of getting sick. And I don't buy any life insurance. I know I'm going to die. There's no doubt in my mind. And then I can take care of my wife and my children without life insurance. So it's true that fear and insurance go together. But you don't have to be motivated by fear, and you can think that through. I mean, you can analyze insurance, and you can take a look in the Bible, and you can see what God says about insurance and strict liability, and you can arrive at a conclusion if you had all the facts. But if you don't have all the facts, well, then you're going to arrive at the conclusion that has been funneled into your brain by the power of suggestion. So immediately when I read my papers, I said, oh my God, look what those North Koreans are doing. They're attacking the South. They sank a ship earlier in the year, and now they're just attacking the South. They're a bunch of rogues. And President Bush called them rogues. He said they're one of the three rogue nations in the world. So he's already got my mind turned on to North Korea as being a rogue nation. And now I read in my press, and now all of the press here in the West is unanimous, but that's not all the press in the world. See, there's other people reporting. So let me turn the page here. Here's a simple example of a pervasive situation, North Korea and South Korea. In April of 2010, the United States and South Korea staged a live fire exercise 15 miles south of the demilitarized zone. Officials from both the militaries insisted that this was not a warning to North Korea. The date of the exercise, which had been planned for months, was a birthday of the founder of North Korea, Kim Il-sung, and a national holiday. Now, the U.S. commander, William Graves, had picked the date. And when he was asked about the provocative nature of picking that particular date, he replied, oh, I didn't realize it was his birthday until just last night when somebody happened to mention it to me. It is truly a coincidence. All right, so let's picture this. The United States and South Korea decide that we're going to stage some live fire military exercises. Now, let me see. If we wanted to conduct some live fire military exercises, couldn't we have gone somewhere else other than 15 miles south of the demilitarized zone? Not that it's illegal for us to do it there. For instance, I mean, we could go out and we could pack our guns. Normally, we pack them out in the woods. Well, we could pack it down Main Street, up and down in front of the bank. It wouldn't be illegal, But don't you think that if you were walking up and down in front of the bank carrying a gun, that the people in the bank would get nervous about that and maybe call the police? And then the police might come over, and they might want to watch you for a while and ask, you know, well, what in the hell are you doing here? Walking up and down on the sidewalk carrying a 30-30 rifle. Not that it's illegal. I mean, after all, you got a right to keep and bear arms. And then you can walk down Main Street with a rifle. But do you think that walking up and down Main Street in front of the bank with a rifle might cause some people to jump to conclusions? It would seem like to me if we wanted to go out and pack a gun or if we wanted to go out and do target practice or something, we ought to go out to a different location away from all of the other people so that they didn't get nervous about what we're doing. So you jump to the wrong conclusions. So North Korea has a national holiday. We do that here in the United States. When President's Day comes, and this is in February, we have two presidents, President George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, both of them born in February. And we have a national holiday. We close all the stores and all the banks, and we take a day off and commemorate these birthdays. Well, the North Koreans are doing the same thing. So while everything is closed down, the South Koreans, you know, let's try this. The Canadians who don't practice President's Day start holding military exercises 15 miles from the Minnesota border. The Canadians certainly have a right to carry out military exercises on their territory. And if it happens to be a mile and a half or 2 miles from Minnesota, you know, what do the Yanks have to argue about? But, you know, normally the Canadians, if they're going to do something like that, they go up further north, you know, 500 miles up into maybe, you know, in the Northwest Territories where nobody can see what they're doing and they conduct their exercises and nobody gets excited. But I'll guarantee you this, if the Canadian military started their military exercises 15 miles from the American border, it would raise a lot of eyebrows. It just would. So I don't think that we should be too surprised when conducting these military exercises 15 miles from the demilitarized zone in Korea between two antagonists who hate each other to start with, and then on a national holiday of another one over here, you know, it raised some eyebrows in the North. That's all. Not that the South Koreans were doing anything that was illegal. They got every right. I mean, they could be conducting those exercises 100 yards south of the border. But again, it's like packing a gun up and down in front of the bank, you know. Now, transparency. Transparently ridiculous statements like this are par for the course. They're indulged in by the powers that be in every nation, and they do it on a routine basis. They are blandly offered to the news media, and then equally blandly and unquestioningly reported, and then accepted by the public. From there, the expectation is that if they're noticed or notified at all, they will be absorbed by the great majority as the background noise of modern events. So, you know, the average Joe Sixpack, he doesn't think much about that. I wouldn't have either. I read that in USA Today. I read it in the Springfield News Leader. I saw it on the Lair News Hour. I saw it reported by Brian Williams. And I just took it at face value. I said, well, those dirty Koreans, look what they're doing over there. Now I read the newsletter from another country. You know, just another guy over there says, okay, well, here's what happened. The news media here didn't report that this was 15 miles south of the border on a national holiday and live fire. I didn't hear that part. So they didn't lie to me, but they didn't give me all the facts either. And then that causes a misconception on my part. So what I saw here in the news media in the United States caused me to arrive at a wrong conclusion. Or certainly, even if it's the right conclusion, it was drawn for all the wrong reasons. I didn't have all the facts. Now that I've got all the facts, and I still may not have all of them, I might only have 25%, but I got 10% more of the facts than you got. You got 15, I got 25%. Neither one of us really know what the hell's going on over there. But pretty shortly, we're going to have a war. We have to. You got 28% unemployment over here. QE1 didn't work. QE2 isn't going to work. And you've got millions of people over here, 10.5 million, that don't have a job. Those people are going to be rioting in the streets here pretty shortly. There's going to be civil unrest here. So the powers that be, in order to keep their power, have to do something to keep your mind and my mind off of what's really going on. And what's really going on is a meltdown in the world's economies and a takeover of all of the world's governments. The New World Order is coming into play. And in order to do that, we've got to have some deflections. And war and fear of war is one of those great deflections. Fear. It always works. It's never failed in the past. Why would it fail now? Now, clearly, this April exercise itself was designed to provoke North Korea. And clearly, the date chosen was designed to maximize that provocation. This latest incident, the North Korean shelling on November 23rd, came after days of South Korean live fire naval exercises within a few miles of the North Korean border. And it also came less than 2 weeks after the G20 Heads of State Summit, which was held in Seoul, South Korea. That summit broke up in acrimony and total disarray. Few global regimes are as reliable as North Korea when it comes to providing a distraction, as and when required. And today, distractions are required like never before. Now, going back to Pearl Harbor, see, there wasn't any doubt about who attacked Pearl Harbor. It was Japanese and Japanese airplanes. What you and I didn't hear about that was that we had already broken the Japanese code. And I had heard that the Japanese code had been broken as much as a year before the attack on Pearl Harbor. And that as recently as 3 weeks before the attack on Pearl Harbor, President Roosevelt knew it was coming and carefully ordered the aircraft carriers out of Pearl Harbor so they'd be out of harm's way. And then carefully ordered all the old battleships, like the Arizona, which was built back about 1912. I mean, it was an old piece of trash to start with. Think about it. The Arizona, built in 1912, 22, 32, 42, hell, it was 30 years old. In another year or two, it was going to be decommissioned and broken up for scrap anyway. So they bring these old rusty battleships in and they tie them all up to the piers. They know the Japs are coming. Why do they know the Japs are coming? Because they've already broken the code. They're listening in on them. Now, we know that today. See, they denied that all during World War II and all the years, you know, up until about 1990, just like the Lusitania carrying armaments for Britain that were made to fit special British guns, had the right caliber to fit the British guns, manufactured in Fort Wayne, Indiana, by America, who was declared to be neutral. See? So we don't get all of the facts. We get what we're supposed to hear, which appeals to our vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear, and then we arrive at conclusions and make decisions based upon, you know, 15, 20, 25% of what we need to know. Now, if you knew all of the facts, if they were reported to us, and then you were asked, okay, now make a decision, should we go to war with North Korea or not? You know, your decision might be different. And I'm not here to tell you to go to war or don't. I just wanted to bring to your attention, you know, that the war with Iraq was as phony as a $3 Fed note. And you know it, and I know it. The reasons for going to war against Iraq was, remember, when we started, it was weapons of mass destruction. When we got through, no weapons of mass destruction. Oh, well, then we're over here to change the regime to make it safe for democracy. So we did that. And then in the process, the five sisters go over there, and while we've got Iraq by the throat, we negotiate a long-term deal on exploiting their oil reserves. Well, isn't that just real coincidental, huh? 25% of the oil in the world located in Iraq, and that's the country we went to war. Huh? The war in Iraq, boys and girls, was for oil. That's the purpose of it. The excuse is weapons of mass destruction, and it wasn't even fomented by the Iraqis. It was fomented by the Saudi Arabians. Remember that these two airplanes that flew into our buildings were manned by Saudis, not Iraqis. Now, can you see why I keep harping? I keep telling you. We're not getting the straight skinny from Brian and Katie. I mean, Brian's a nice guy, and Katie is a wonderful cheerleader, and I don't deny it. God, I love them both. But they're not telling us the truth. And let me give you a mid-course reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, click on the archives page, and download the free general law CD package right there. These sources of information that we use in this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial. They could be ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the International Forecaster. Let me give you a name and address here. The subscription rate's $180 a year, 25 issues, $180, 2 year, 50 issues, it's $300. A little discount here if you buy 2 years at a time. 6 months, 12 issues is $100. Now remember, this is measured in Australian dollars. You'll probably need to call them first and then ask them, what's the price in English pounds? What's the price in Canadian dollars? What's the price in U.S. dollars? No, it's international for most of us. I don't know what the price is here in U.S. dollars, but I saw here in the forecaster the Aussie dollar and the U.S. dollar are pretty close. Pretty close. So my guess is 180 U.S. dollars, they'd probably take that. 180 Canadian dollars, he'd probably take that. Now his phone number is plus 617. I don't have a phone right here in front of me. I don't know what that plus means. Are you supposed to dial plus first on an international call? I don't even have a plus here on my telephone. So you Australians must have a different thingy down there than we do. And he's also on the internet. So you might want to send him an internet letter first. It's publisher William A.M. Buckler, B-U-C-K-L-E-R. This is called The Privateer, and it's The Hyphen Privateer. So there's a hyphen in here. And it's www.the-privateer.com/sub subscriptions. Now, if you're an Australian, you got to add 10% for your GST. I guess the rest of us don't have to pay that. So in Australia, it costs you $180 plus $18 for your GST. Here in the United States, I think we can leave off the GST. Let's try this one. Telephone number is plus 617-5471-1960. He's got a plus sign in front of 617. And then there's 5471. And then there's 1960 here. If you want to write to him, it's William A. M. Buckler, Post Office Box 2004, Noosa Heads, Queensland, 4567, Australia. Okay, once more, that's William A. M. Buckler, Bill Buckler, Post Office Box 2004, that's 2004, Noosa Heads, N-O-O-S-A-H-E-A-D-S, Queensland, Q-L-D, Queensland, 4567. Australia. Now, this guy is really, in my estimation, top of the line. He's a great teacher, So for dummies like me, and I don't understand all of these nuances that they have in economics. I mean, they've got all of these acronyms. You know, like the MCB and the CD9, and just on and on. He's careful to explain those. So that, dummies like us can stay in the game and listen to the story. And it's 12 pages and comes out twice a month, 25 issues a year, easy to understand, very educational, very educational. In fact, if you don't know very much about economics and you don't, read economics newsletter, I would suggest that you start with the Privateer and or the Money Changer. I'll come to the Money Changer a little later in the series. Franklin Sanders is a great teacher also. He's right down to earth, and he explains to plumbers and carpenters and electricians like us. Now, other economists, they're talking to economists, and they talk in economic language, and sometimes it's hard for us to understand. So when I subscribe to the Privateer and the Money Changer, they explain what these terms mean. Then when I read Chapman and the Forecaster and Skousen and McIlvaney and others, now I know what this Mortgage Bankers Association, MBA, that's the Mortgage Bankers Association, and here's what they say. So in the newsletters, they say, and the MBA reports. What in the hell do I know about the MBA? Now, the NBA, I know. That's basketball. But, MBA? Come on. So you get a subscription here to the Privateer first. That's where you start. And or the Money Changer. And then you're ready to get into the big leagues. And the International Forecaster, that's for the big leagues. That guy prints a paper twice a week, about 25 pages, 30 pages twice a week, 52 weeks a year, I think it is. And now, for that, you've got to have something on the ball. But this guy Chapman now has more on the ball, and he reports more about what's going on. And what I wanted to show you here was, it's not just about economics. It's about war, peace and war. It's about social conditions and economic conditions, political conditions. Why are these people doing this? Why are we conducting military exercises on a holiday 15 miles south of the DMZ? All right, let's try it this way. Let's suppose, for you Canadians up there, that the United States Army conducts military exercises 15 miles south of the Canadian border in say, North Dakota. Wouldn't that raise your eyebrows? See, you Canadians would feel a lot better if we conduct those military exercises, say, in Colorado or maybe Arizona. You know, just try it that way. What if the Mexican Army is holding military exercises like they did in 1916 inside the United States border in New Mexico? That's what Pancho Villa did. Came up here and did a raid, you know, down in New Mexico in 1916. Boy, if you don't think that stirred up a lot of hate and discontent in short order. Only killed a handful of people. What was the big deal? But boy, that got everybody's adrenaline flowing in short order. Now listen, these things don't happen accidentally. And Pancho Villa didn't attack the United States accidentally. He did that on purpose. He did that to stir up political hate and discontent. And it got the U.S. Army involved, and it got the Mexican government involved. His objective was to overthrow the Mexican government, not the U.S. government. All right, so these events that transpire are being reported in the underground press. You and I aren't getting the information because we don't subscribe to the underground press, and Warren Buffett and George Soros control Katie and Brian. That's where the bottom line is. All right, now let's take a look here at international crowd control. North Korea is one of the very few nations left in the world in which total control over the population is wielded by its government. It's a one-party military dictatorship. Their leadership has been handed down literally from father to son ever since it was created out of the Soviet-occupied part of Korea in 1948. It is a creation of the Cold War, and the only nation that remains intact and totally unchanged almost 20 years after President Reagan came up with this evil empire idea, and George Bush came up with this rogue nation idea. The USSR and its bloc collapsed in 1991 politically. But if there is a nation on earth in which the people are totally innocent in the actions of their government, that nation is North Korea. North Korea is and has been kept intact by both China and the United States for one simple reason, and that is North Korea is a bogeyman. Now, the English term bogeyman has its equivalent in almost every language on earth. But whatever the language, historically, a bogeyman defines an imagery and a threatening figure used by parents to frighten their children and thus keep them in line. Now, modern child psychologists stand aghast at this practice. But modern governments don't bother much with children because they don't vote and they don't pay taxes and they don't protest very much. Now, for adults, the role of parental guidance has long since devolved upon the state. Here, the practices against which our child psychologists will protest so vehemently are used against the citizens of the nations of the world routinely. So when the adults threaten to get out of line, they're laid on with an ever more indiscriminate trowel. Today, everywhere you look, whether at relations between nations, economies, or international or domestic financial markets, the bogeymen are proliferating as seldom before. All right, so our government then is going to use this bogeyman of North Korea against us here in the United States. Nobody wants to go to war. But the threat of war creates a reaction in you. It will determine how you vote. It'll determine how you spend your money, whether or not you go on vacation. Your vanity, your jealousy, your lust, your greed, and your fear motivate you to action. So as a salesman, when I'm training salesmen in my business school, or if I'm training you as a student in my business school, I point out to you that the money is in sales. The money isn't in work. The money isn't in putting hubcaps on the cars as they go down the assembly line. The people working there make a living. The people who make money are the salesmen selling those Chevrolet automobiles. And in order to sell that Chevrolet automobile to keep you from buying a Ford or a Nissan or a Toyota or something else, I have to appeal to your vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Well, the other salesmen are all doing the same thing. See? All of us salesmen are out here jerking your strings. That's what the bottom line is. We're jerking your strings. Politicians are salesmen, and they're selling you national health care insurance. That's why we have these debates going on with the national health care insurance. Or we have this debate going on, should we attack Iraq? George Bush went to work selling the war in Iraq, and it took about 3 or 4 months to get the American people all psyched up about these weapons of mass destruction, and we got resolutions through the United Nations, and by God, we're going over there and teach that Saddam Hussein a lesson or two. All right, we did. We did. Killed 3 million Iraqis, and and took their oil. Now the objective here, if our president had said, look, we need more oil. we want to take it away from somebody, and the Russians are pretty tough, so we probably don't want to go over and try to take it away from them. The North Koreans don't have any, so there's no point. But the Iraqis, look at over here, these Iraqis. They're led by a dictator, and we can vilify him and make him look like a jerk in the press and make all of you Americans see what a jerk he is. And I wouldn't deny it. I think that Saddam Hussein was a jerk. But did you really want to go to war, spend $1 trillion, and kill 3 million people to steal 25% of the world's oil supply? Because I think if it had been presented in that plane or that view, most of us Americans would have said, hell no. We don't want to go over there and steal those people's oil. But listen, wait a minute. Hang on here a second. Standard Oil does. Shell Oil does. British Petroleum does. They want to go over and steal their oil. But you see, those corporations don't have the military or the economic wherewithal to go do that. If British Petroleum tried to raise an army and go over to Iraq and conquer them, they'd fall flat on their face. So what they need to do is to get America psyched up, get us excited, ticked off. Then we go over there and whip them. Then BP and Exxon and their lobbies, and they come into the Congress and they say, okay, well, now that we've got this under control, here's what we would like to do. And so then our diplomats go over and talk to those Iraqi diplomats who are now all installed in office at our behest. That's a puppet government in Iraq. See, we Americans talk about the Russians orchestrating a puppet government in Czechoslovakia, a puppet government in Poland. Well, of course those were puppet governments. Well, what in the hell do you think you've got in the Philippines or in Pakistan or Afghanistan or Iraq? Those are American puppet governments. We installed them. We support them. They would collapse without our direct intervention. The people don't want them. They hate them. Now, you know, once they get established, like the Japanese, you know, they're pretty used to voting in one thing and another. But if you think the Japanese have any love for Americans, you got your head up the wrong end. You don't understand Shinto religion. Those Japanese, in the final analysis, are going to eat our lunch. And in the Bible, God talks about that. He said of us, the Israelites, he talks about us, particularly Ephraim and Manasseh, and about our lovers. And he said, you go out and you pay your lovers. We play the harlot. See, we're an unusual nation. Most people go to a whore and they pay the whore. We Americans are, in fact, the whore, and we pay our lovers. We got it exactly backwards. But God didn't get it backwards. He identified it just exactly the way it is. We Americans are out here giving out our foreign aid to the Israelis and giving our foreign aid to the Pakistanis and foreign aid over here and foreign aid over there and military alliances here and there and everywhere in the world, and those are our lovers. Now, in order to get our brains wrapped around all of the chicanery that's going on around us, you've got to have a source of real information that you can measure against the false information, because if all you get is false information, as far as your computer is concerned, that's all truth. If, on the other hand, we had all true information, then we would have the truth. Well, can you tell me what information or what source of information has nothing but truth? Well, other than the scripture now, there isn't any other source. So now if we use the scripture, and then we take a look at the information that we receive, and then we measure that information against the underground press, we get conflicts that can be resolved through the scripture. Now by putting these three together, we can get a pretty accurate handle on what the hell's going on around us. God will tell you the truth all the time. And then the underground press will reveal the fraud and the lies that are coming out of the above ground press. And then every once in a while, the underground press makes a mistake, draws the wrong conclusion. They're not bulletproof. But at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Now, with the underground press, that's the privateer, the international forecaster, the money changer. Then you compare that with Brian and Katie and Jim. And then we compare that with Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 and Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Revelation 6, and so on. We can get a pretty accurate picture about what the hell's going on around the world. And then you and I can take some kind of evasive action to see if we can't save ourselves from it. Now, of course, if you like what you see and you want to go join the Army, make the world safe for democracy, now's the time to join the Army. You're unemployed anyway. So why don't you go join the Army and we'll go over to make the world safe for the Korean Peninsula or something on that order. But it'll make you employed and it'll keep you off the streets and out of the pool halls and it'll keep you out of those noxious rioting crowds and mobs that are going to develop here in America and Great Britain because of the economic collapse and the economic calamity that we're involved in. So that's where reality is at. And that's what Buckler's pointing out here. And that's why I suggest that you subscribe to the privateer. And Buckler doesn't pay me anything. In fact, I got to tell you a little story here. I got a letter from Buckler one time, and he chewed me up one side and down the other. And he accused me of plagiarizing and taking his newsletter and profiting from it and blah, blah, blah. And he said, you're a thief, and you've got no right to take my material. And he's right. He's 100% right. I wouldn't deny it for a minute. But I'm not plagiarizing his material. And he doesn't pay me a nickel to promote his paper. In fact, I'm not too sure what will happen is this guy, he must have taken a look, heard, and then listened to my radio programs, and he said, I don't want to be associated with a lunatic fringe freak like that. And then he wrote me a letter and said, hey, lay off. I'm just trying to promote him because he's got his feet on the ground and his head is on straight. So I just want to report that to you. And if he doesn't have any good words for me, that's fine. I mean, I'm not here in a popularity contest. I don't care if people like me or hate me. It's better. I feel better when people write me nice letters and tell me that I walk on water. But when somebody writes me a letter and tells me I'm going to hell because of this, that, or something else, it's okay. I understand. All right. Now, this newsletter, again, let me give you the name and number and see if we can sell this to you. And it's $180 a year, William A.M. Buckler, Post Office Box 2004, Noosa Heads, Queensland, 4567, Australia. You can go to www.the-privateer.com. Now, they've also got an email address. It's Captain, C-A-P-T, at the-privateer.com. So if you want to send him an email, it's C-A-P-T, at the-privateer.com. And their phone number, again, it says plus 617. Then it's 5471. And then 1960. Again, the phone number is plus 617-5471. 1960. I'm so damn dumb, I just call the operator and say, place this call for me, it's international, they'll do that, and they'll get you on the line there, Tom. Well worth every dollar, so don't be afraid of spending the $180. I think you'll be glad you did. Hey, I'm almost out of time. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.